All right. Not on yet, but
okay.
I'll get together here. Let's see. I'll find it here. All right. Now I should be on. Right. Good to be with you folks here tonight. I make my home in Cross Plains, Tennessee. And our mission address and so on is Madison, Tennessee, part of Nashville. But we moved out of Nashville when all those football teams and so on moved in, you know. You know the taxpayers land up paying for all those million-dollar salaries, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad to be out of where I was and in the country and let somebody else pay those salaries and so forth. So that's why we're in Madison. My wife is there tonight. And thank the Lord, we attend Berean Baptist Church in White House, Tennessee. Our pastor, Joe Lang, good man of God. God called us into this ministry some 25 years ago. It was 25 years ago last month when I started, with this ministry of making gospel signs. I've been interested in it for years. When I was up in Canada, they had a ministry going up there of making gospel signs, and the Lord led me to the United States, and this is my country. I love the United States of America, and I said, we need to do the same thing here. So I laid upon our hearts, and we got started with this. Somebody gave us the first truck, and we drove up to Canada and got some signs and so forth, and there it went 25 years ago, and then I went into full-time in 2001. Up to then, I used to go out on Friday nights and travel, and Saturday travel, and preach in one church and in the morning and another church in the evening, and take a day off of work and drive back home on Monday and go back to work on Tuesday. That's the way it was. I took vacation days, but when I ran out of vacation days, the company didn't want to give me those days off, you know, even though I went off on a plane. So when I became of the age of Social Security, I left and I went full-time into the ministry. I know how God has blessed, and today I have three other men with me in this ministry doing the same thing I'm doing. Same thing, going to churches all over the country, and we've divided the country up into sections, and I like the South, and so the South is my section. But we have two men in Ohio, our new man, just a younger man, that just joined us, and he's taken the northern part of Kentucky and sort of south. Another man is farther north, and then we have a man in New York. He just came back from Alaska, gave away 273 gospel signs in Alaska and Montana and so forth in the last week. First year, I started in June and went to the end of the year, gave away 32 signs. Boy, that was great. You know, but then the first full year gave away over 100 signs. Boy, that was really something. And then the next year was a little over 200 signs. And I had a dear old man making them. He was a Church of Christ, but he loved the Lord in spite of his church. And he making the signs, but he was slow, you know. And if he could make a couple of hundred, maybe 300 signs in a year, he was doing pretty good. Well, when I started giving away 300 signs a year, it wasn't good enough. And boy, what do we do? Well, I'll never forget, my wife and I getting on our knees and praying. And we had just moved to Madison, Tennessee at the time. And I was working as a maintenance man, doing all kinds of maintenance work in a large home. And one morning, the boss and I were sitting there drinking coffee a little before 7:30 in the morning, and a young man came in. And he walks up to the desk and he said to the boss there, he said, do you need any signs made here to around your place? And I said, well, he says, we sometimes do, my boss said. And he says, Casper here, he needs signs. He's in a sign ministry. So the man looked at me and he said, you need signs? And I said, sure do. I said, where are you located? He says, I'm in Madison. I said, I live in Madison. I said, where in Madison? He said, just down from the post office. I'd already gone to that post office and never saw his place. Well, I went to his place and he looked at the signs and he said, yeah, we can make them. And so in about, a couple weeks' time, he had 100 made. And his price was $1.25 less than the other man did. Yeah. And we've been with him ever since. And now he makes about $30,000 worth of signs a year for us. Yeah, that's the way it's going. Just it's grown. Last year we gave away 3,253 signs across the United States. We've given over 30,000 signs away. Yeah. So if the Lord were to come tonight, there's going to be lots of warnings to the unsaved across this land, because the Word of God will still be there. They got to pull them out and throw them away, but they'll be there, you see. Yeah, the Word. All our signs with the King James Version of the Bible. That's the only thing we do that way. This signs here is, I've hung two, a metal sign, aluminum, and this is coroplast. And all our signs, of course, got two verses on them. We got these little stakes. These cost $2, but if you look next month, you know, after the election, you can get them free, you know, if you're around town. Yeah. Yeah. You laugh at me. That's what I did. That's how I got started. You know, I didn't know we could buy them and so forth. So after election, I was out there that night, you know, and I'm picking up all these little signs everywhere. So people go to them. The metal signs, of course, last much better. Stainless steel, pour, so on. This stand is $20. But you can make your own stand. Got all kinds of ideas. The second size sign we have is this one. This is 2 feet by 3 feet. In fact, I have this sign in front of my house. Right there. Just like that. Frame around. I live on highway and I travel a little faster, and this stands up terrific. And I gave one of these away in South Carolina some years ago. I personally have been in 49 states of our union. I've preached in over 600 churches now in these years. 49 states. And the only reason I haven't been in the 50th state is because that Chevy van out there, it won't tread water. So gave one of these away in South Carolina, and these people put it up, and it came Halloween time. And some boys were going around the neighborhood with baseball bats and sticks, smashing people's mailboxes. Now, I hope that doesn't happen here in Kentucky. It does happen in Tennessee. It happened to me in Madison when we lived there and at night. And so I had to replace my mailbox. But they were going around smashing. And I call these guys idiots, because that's what they were. One of these idiots walks up to the sign and he hits it with a stick. Now, you can imagine the noise, you know, the thing made. Made so much noise. The people across the street are, what's going on? And so they come out and they see their smashed mailbox. Look down the street. These idiots are running down the middle of the street, you know, with their bats and sticks. So what do these people do? They call the police. Yeah. Police came out and caught the boys. Oh, by the way, this is what the back of the sign said. Yeah. The third size sign we've got is 3x4, sitting right back there. It's alumoplast. That's a new material. When we started, we made wooden signs. And then we went into steel signs. I remember when we had the steel sign. It weighed about 135 pounds. And I lifted up one end and put it in the truck, and then I slid along the side and lifted up the other and slid in the truck. I remember that, yeah. Praise the Lord, I don't have to do that anymore now that I'm getting old. But alumoplast, that's the newest stuff out. And it's great. Very much to drill home. And then our big signs are 4x8, 4 feet by 8 feet, and I have them in the truck. We give away our signs free. That means the price is right. Why, some of you folks look at me, you think you couldn't even afford that. Huh? Yeah, I said they're free. Yeah. That's right. One sign per family, one sign per church. That's what we had. We had people grabbing them by the bunches. Yeah, well, we couldn't keep up then, you know. If you want to go into a sign ministry, make sign, pray in your own money, okay? Okay. But, oh, God has supplied. Oh, how good God is, yeah, in this ministry. When God called me into this ministry, I said, Lord, if you want me to make gospel signs and put them out across the country, Lord, it's going to cost a lot of money. And would you supply the funds? I don't want to ask for funds. In 25 years, folks, we've never asked for funds ever. We've never written out a letter asking people to give. Never have. And we have a whole bunch of churches that support us now. Praise the Lord for what God has done. And so we just keep on making and keep on making. And as money comes in, I call up and make more signs, you know, make more signs and so forth. But you know, computers can give you a fit. Did you know that? We got a sign sitting back there. It's red. And it has that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Well, these guys put that on a computer, and the word cleanseth, that means cleaneth, doesn't it? So the computer kicks out cleaneth. They print the sign, and I didn't see it. So we got the blood of Jesus Christ cleaneth us from all sins. So we had to change that. I had to get new signs there. Confusion about computers, eh? Well, you have these things. You got to just watch everything when they come out in that way. But the signs are free, and I hope you'll take one and put it up. Don't leave it sit in a back room or a garage or so on, folks. Put it up and let God use His Word. And God blesses the Word. Now, back there in the display, I have several items. I have the little door plaque, little aluminum door plaque. It says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And I urge people to get one of these and put it on the door of the house. A little aluminum plaque. "As for me and my house," sooner or later, and it will happen here too in Kentucky, I'm sure, if it hasn't, a Jehovah's Witness will come knocking on your door, or a Mormon. Yeah. And you have this on the door, and you got the first shot at them, huh? With the Word, huh? Amen. Yeah. But listen, besides that, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, you have a passage which the Jews call the Shema. It starts, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," and so forth. And it goes talking about your children, how to teach your children along the way, and so forth. And then verse 9 of that passage says, "And thou shalt write the word on the doorpost of thine house and at thy gates." And I urge you to get one of these and put them on the door of your house. You can get them at a Christian bookstore or so on. But put the Word everywhere. I've got the Word of God everywhere in my place. It's on my garage doors. It's in front of my house. It's on every room of my house and so forth. And that. So, you put this on the door of your house. Now, what is the gate of your house? Well, if you were to put a fence all the way around your house, where would you put the gate? You say at the end of the driveway. All right? Put this at the door. Put this at the end of the driveway. And you can fulfill that passage literally and be a blessing to many. And I urge you to do it. Very, very much so. And oh, how God has blessed His Word. I've already, through my sign, somebody were saved in a foreign place. Also back there on the table is our newsletter. We call it the Signpost. And just about every, this one's got a number of them, just about every letter we've been able to tell of some people getting saved because of some signs, some miracles along the way. God has been so good, so good. Right, I just came from Oklahoma, and I was among the Indian nations there, the Chata, it's Chata area, Creeks, Navajos, and so on. I was at their convention. It was a wonderful time, and I had some fans winning some people for Christ in that area. What a blessing. How good God is. Also back there is the magnetic signs. I got the pineapple storybook. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. That's the story of my brother. And then there's some other things there that you can look at there. But let's get into the Word. It's Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. This is a tremendous chapter. It really is. I don't know whether you folks memorize scriptures or not, but listen to you who are younger. Memorize scriptures now. It's much easier when you're younger than older. Now, my wife and I, we still work at it. Work at it all the time. It takes a long time for something to get into this guy. I mean, it really does. But the scriptures that I memorized when I was young, I remember far more now than the ones that I'm working at as I'm older. You see, this is one chapter. It's tremendous. Tremendous. We memorized this years ago. What a blessing it is. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Jesus says, "Labor not for meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." That's what Jesus said. Verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and ye labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good." Oh, I remember standing at a door knocking a man's house, and I started witnessing to him. I like door-to-door visitation. We do it every Saturday, go door-to-door, and talk to people of the Lord. And how God has blessed a Spanish man this past Saturday, accepted Christ as Savior. It was wonderful. But this man said he was saved, knew the Lord as a Savior. So I asked him, I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "Well, we don't go to church. I can't go to church. I have to work." I said, "You work on Sunday?" He said, "I work 7 days a week." Now, this was on a Saturday morning. He worked 7 days a week. I thought Saturday was one of the weekdays. But anyways, he wasn't working. He was home. But he had to work. And as I was standing there and he was explaining this, I sort of glanced around just a little bit, you know, and he had all kinds of things. all kinds of gimmicks and gadgets in his house, you know, and around the house too, and so forth. And I thought, yeah, got to work 7 days a week to pray for all the gimmicks and gadgets and so on, which is all going to leave behind when he leaves this life. Yeah, folks, don't get caught up in that rat race. Don't go and buy a whole bunch of stuff we don't need, you see, and have to pay for. Put your monies where in God's work. Oh, and how God will bless that. Well, jumping down to verse 6 and verse 7, we see some great commands that are given here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Here, verse 11, our text. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Every time I read this passage, O God, another passage, it's a thrill to my soul. Thy word truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, as we look into it briefly this evening, speak to our hearts. Minister here in our midst, O Father, and we pray that great glory will come unto thy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's word on the highways and byways. Verse 11, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word out of God's mouth. My word out of my mouth. God said it. This is His word. The precious word of God. We got it right here in our own tongue, in our own language. What a blessing to have the word of God. What a blessing to spend time in it. Huh? Are you reading it through this year? Are you? That's good. I'm on my second time through now. I won't make it all the way, but I'm on my second time. It's such a blessing. What a blessing God's word is. God's word. My word out of my mouth. God's word, precious, is given us. Now, I want you to notice something in that little text, verse 11, in our text, verse 11. The very first word, that little word is so, S-O, so. That little word here is a conjunction. A conjunction is one of the eight parts of speech, like a noun and a verb and an adjective and an adverb and so forth. A conjunction is a connecting word. It ties or connects things together. Many others. You read in Paul's epistles and look up the words whatsoever and so forth, or wherefore and so forth. The words like that. Amazing. You study what he is connecting. It'll bring a thrill to your heart to see it, you see. Here, this little word, so, has the connotation of likewise, or in like manner, or just like. Well, let's read it that way for a minute. Likewise shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. You say, Brother Koning, like what? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go into the context of the passage and see like what. Jumping back to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. You see the next word? That same word. So. Likewise, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts? Yeah, God's ways supersede our ways by so far and so much. Yes. 4, verse 10, the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Likewise, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, we have an illustration here in verse 10. An illustration about sowing and reaping. How many of you folks put in a garden? You put in a vegetable garden. How many? All right. What do the rest of you do? Go to the store and buy all your stuff? I mean, hey, you got to learn to dig in the dirt. Yeah, it's good. Oh, my. My wife told me today she picked 25 tomatoes. I told him, take them to church with you tonight. You know, give them out there. Yeah. Hey, we do that. Many of our people do. We have a table in the back foyer, and people just bring their vegetables, and those who don't grow them, they pick them up. So I said, take them to church with you, you know. My garden is really producing something terrific. Anyway, but hey, the garden. I go out there. I used to go with shovel, but now I have that machine, you know. Yeah, it works a little easier. And I get that all nicely done and raked off, and then I put in the rows. You know, I usually put a string on so I go pretty straight, have some nice straight rows about 3 feet apart. And then I put the seed in, you know, whether it's or the little tomato plants. In fact, I have a hotbed. I start a hotbed in January and with glass over top of it. And I put my seed under the glass and water it. So by the spring, my plants are doing pretty good, you know, and so forth. And then I replant them to my garden. And you put the tomatoes in, or the peppers, or sweet potatoes, or the radishes, or what else have I got? Brussels sprouts and so forth. Cucumbers, and I got some squash. Man, my squash are huge like this. And anyway, but hey, you get that land all flat. You get the rows in. You put the seed in. Oh, by the way, have you ever seen carrot seed? Carrot seed is so small that when you drop it, you just hope it fell in the right place because you don't see it anymore, you know? You'll find out 3 or 4 weeks later whether it got to the right spot or not. But anyways, you got all this seed in. So it's all in the ground. It's all planted. Now what do you need? You need precipitation. You need rain. The rain comes down, the seed comes up. That's exactly what he's saying in verse 10. In other words, the rain has an effect upon the seed. You got what I mean? Likewise, in like manner, God's word has an effect upon mankind and will do something in the hearts of men and women. Yeah. And I want you to see three things that God's word will do. God's word will perform, God's word will produce, and God's word will prosper. And it mentions it all here in verse 11. Let's look at it for a minute. First of all, God's word will perform. It says here about God's word, it shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me void. The word of God is not proclaimed in vain. God's word is not empty. God's word is not hot air. God's word is not without substance. In fact, God speaking through Jeremiah says, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh a rock into pieces? God's word is weighty. It does something. It has a supernatural force behind it. In the New Testament, the Bible reads, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You say, Brother Coney, what does all that mean? That means that God's word goes down to the deepest part of man. I've found this out in soul winning and talking to people. Quote the word of God. And God's Holy Spirit will take the word and move upon the heart. And they're going to reject God's word. Of course, they'll say that to you. But God's word speaks. Now, you saw the truck out there, didn't you? You had to see it because I was there first. So you all came later. That's God's truck, by the way. That's not my truck. That's God's truck. He paid for it. Yeah. And by the way, God paid cash. Yeah, God doesn't use plastic. He pays cash. But our whole ministry is based on that. We go on a cash basis. Listen, you can't go give away things free of charge you haven't paid for. Does that make sense to you? So everything we do, as I get money, I call up and get signs made. If I have no money, I make no signs. If I have no signs, the ministry is done. I'll go and do something else. I'll go and do something. I'll work maybe full-time with the fair ministry then or something. I love that fair ministry. I'm here, too, to help with the fair for the rest of the week. You know, I do that in between meetings and so forth. So God supplied the monies, and we bought the truck. And it was a white truck, a white Chevrolet truck. Looked just like all the rest of them on the road. Then, as God supplied, we got a painter. We got about $800 worth of signs on the sides. The back ones are reflective at night, you know, and the front one is the backwards, you know. You look in the mirror and you read the word backwards in front. So we got on the road. Now, we're I used to say, we're the only truck like that on the road. But we're, this is not the only truck because we got a second truck. That's up in New York. Looks exactly the same as this one. But with the signs and so on. So there's two of us anyway. So as we're going down the road, Christian people, you know, yeah, they like the word of God very, very much, you know. And you know these guys that drive the 18-wheelers? Yeah, many of them are saved men, and they drive faster than I do. Now, there's two reasons why they drive faster. One thing is, I'm getting old, and I don't drive as fast anymore. But here's the better reason. Now, I want you to really listen, especially you younger fellas, maybe ladies too. Did you know you get better gas mileage when you drive slower? Huh? Are you listening to me? Yeah. Well, gas is only $3 and something like that. Yeah, yeah, I paid $3.08 before I left, but that's still high, isn't it? But, yeah. So, you know, when I drive slower, I get better gas mileage? I know, I'm driving hundreds of thousands of miles, you know, with my trucks and so forth. And so, yeah. So I drive slower, but these guys keep on trucking and they fly right by you. But, you know, some of them are saved men, and they see all the signs of the truck, and they just want to wave. So they come up, and I'm driving away, and they come up beside me, you know, and they don't get my attention. So you know what they do? Yeah, they pull that air horn. Woo! Man, that scares you to death, man, when they're right beside you pulling that thing. And then as I'm recovering, they're waving, and I wave back at them. But you know what, folks? We've also had the other response with our truck. We've been cut off on the road on purpose. We're going down 75 in Florida, and a guy came up around us and went right in front of us and slowed right down. So we hadn't even put on the brake, you know, very much. And then he sped off and took off. I've had people pass me on the inside and go on to shoot rocks on my truck. I was in a small town with a whole bunch of teenagers there, and they saw the truck coming, and they started pointing and laughing and making fun, and I thought, man, I better keep on going, get out of here. Yeah, God's doing it. Listen, if you get a sign tonight, the devil's against you. Yeah, he's against you. He is. He doesn't want you to put up a sign. He doesn't want your neighbors to be convicted by the Word of God. Uh-uh. He don't. But I urge you to be men, not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Yeah, be a testimony for Him. Set up your sign and let God use His Word. God blesses the Word and let Him use it in the hearts and lives of individuals. Secondly, God's Word will produce. It says here, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall accomplish that which is pleased. Now, what does God want His Word to do? What pleases Him and to do? Well, I know from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. Paul talks about Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to be saved. A man and wife had been saved for a number of years, had been married for a number of years, and the wife got saved, but her husband did not. She went to church on the Lord's Day, Sundays. He never went. He didn't read his Bible. He doesn't listen to Christian radio. He certainly didn't want the preacher to come visit. Mm-mm. They had enough religion in their house, as far as he was concerned, his wife going to church on Sunday morning. One day this man comes home and he asks his wife the question, honey, what does it mean, the wages of sin is death? She was startled. He was quoting Scripture. Actually, he's quoting Scripture. And so she explained, wages is pay. You work at the plant, you get paid. He understood that. Sin is wrongdoing against a holy God. And everyone does it. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we do wrong. And the pay for our wrongdoing is death. Separation from God in the lake of fire. Jesus called it hell. And because of man's sin, he will go to hell. Unless something intertwines in his life. And that's what the rest of the verse says. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And of course, we know our Lord. We can only get so much on a sign, so we put the base on. And so he went on to explain that Jesus Christ hung on the cross and he died and he paid for his sin. He died in your place. He died for you. If you will only repent of your sin and believe on him as your Savior, he'll save you. She explained that best she knew how. When she finished, he said, "Thank you," and said nothing further. Several days went by, and came Sunday, and she got dressed up to go to church. He got dressed up too. And he says, "I'm going to church with you this morning." Wow, she was amazed. But he went. He went to church with her. First time. She was thrilled. Preacher preached a message, so forth. And service is over. They left for home. She made dinner and sat together and ate and went into the afternoon service. And she was curious. Did he like it or did he not like it? But he never said anything about the church service. Nothing. Nothing that day. Nor did he say anything on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Never said a word. But it came that Sunday, the second Sunday, and he says, "I'm going to church with you this morning." And he went a second Sunday. And the following week, a third Sunday. And a fourth Sunday. And every day as he's driving by, 5 days a week, drove by the sign, "The wages of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life." And he went again. And then one Sunday, he left his pew, came to the old-fashioned altar and gave his heart to Jesus. Yeah! And that woman had a new man. Yeah, a saved man. That's God's desire, that men will come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. You know, very much so. What else does God want His Word to do? Well, I think there's many things that God wants His Word to do. But since we read in verse 10 about reproduction, about the seed going in the ground, the rain coming down, the seed coming up, fruit is God's desired end. God wants fruit. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? You say, "Brother Conan, yeah, I'm a Christian." Well, why did the Lord save you? Well, you say, "The Lord saved me so I can go to heaven." Well, that's good. That's good. But then let me ask you the question. If the Lord saved you for you to go to heaven, what are you doing sitting here in church tonight? Why aren't you in heaven? You say, "Well, Brother Coney, the Lord saved me and He's going to take me to heaven, but He hasn't taken me yet. It's not my time to go." Okay, I see that since you're sitting here. Yeah. So why is He leaving you and I here when we're bound for glory? To reproduce, to bear fruit. What is the fruit of a Christian? I'm not talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned in the Bible, love, joy, peace, and so forth. The fruit of the Christian is another Christian. That's what the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. Yeah. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." Now, what do you get fruit on? The vine or the branches? Well, let me illustrate. When I was living there in Madison, part of Nashville, I had behind my house a pear tree. Oh, it gave great pears. It wasn't a big tree. The trunk was only about this big. It stood about 18 feet tall. In the fall of the year, usually November, December, I go out there and prune that tree. It always brought out shoots here and there, especially up the top part. Put a ladder up, climbed up, and cut off a lot of the shoots. Then, about the end of March, April, I go out and spray. And when the buds are just starting to come, I spray the tree against animal buds and so on. Well, comes the end of June, end of July, early August, it was time for pears. You know how I knew it was time for pears? The birds could tell me. The birds love my pears. And either they got them first or I got them first, eh? And since it was my pear tree, I'm one of them, okay? So, here I am. I got my basket, and I'm going out to the pear tree. I walk right up to the trunk of my pear tree, and I put my arms around the trunk, and I start talking to my pear tree. You say, "That's funny." No, I don't think that's funny at all. I saw Joe Demarest today. He had this little device in his pocket, and he took this little device, and he started talking to this little device. Yeah. It didn't talk back to him, but he got some figures on it and so forth. You know? So people are talking now to other things. I just have a telephone, you know, and I just listen. But he was talking to this thing. Anyways, here I am standing there talking to my tree. Dear pear tree, you've given me these luscious pears these many years. Oh, how we love that pear. My children, my grandchildren, they love pear sauce. It's time for pears. Give me your pears. Now, I'm exactly anxious to get them. Give me your pears. And I stand there. And my arms get tired. And my basket slides to my hand. And I have no pears. And I back up. Oh, and all of a sudden something hits me on the head. And I look up. And right there is hanging from a branch a beautiful pear. The pears were on the branches. They weren't on the trunk. Are you with me? Jesus says, we are the branches. He's the trunk. He's the stem. He invigorates. Holy Spirit works through us. But we are the ones who reproduce. We are the ones who bear fruit. Now let me tell you something very sad, folks. I've been in many hundreds of churches now in our country. Most of my churches are like yours. I attend one, Berean Baptist Church, just like yours. Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James Church. Love it. God is blessing. But I go to churches all over the country. See, God's people. But did you know that most of God's people in our fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches don't ever go out and win a person to Jesus Christ? They are never reproducing themselves. They're never winning souls. Never. It's so sad. My truck, my trailer broke down when I went to that trip to Oklahoma and Arkansas. So I was there at the garage. While I was there, there was another man standing there waiting for his car. I walked over to him, took my tracks out, and I hope you carry tracks with you every day, don't you? Spanish, English, huh? When I talked to that Spanish man, I've got 100% absolutely sure English, 100% absolutely sure Spanish. That helps. I don't know Spanish, but that helps. And I gave him a tract. I asked him this question. I said, sir, if you were to die tonight, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you'd be in heaven tonight? I don't know. He answers me. I said, wouldn't you like to know that you're going to heaven? No, for sure. He said, yes. And I started witnessing to him. And I led him in a sinner's prayer. I found out he was a Muslim. Muslims need to be saved too. Like Indians and white men and so forth. Yeah. That family last night I dealt with. Wonderful. Wonderful. Three people. Yeah. Oh, folks. We need to go. Did you know I've never won somebody for Jesus Christ sitting in my lazy boy chair at home? That's an honest admission. I've never won anybody when I'm sitting at home. I've always had to go out into the highways and byways of America or to the fairs or someplace to win folks. And it will be that with you. When we go on purpose, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Let's be wise and go win people for Christ. Let's reproduce ourselves. Listen, Mohammedism is growing by leaps and bounds in our country. Jehovah's Witnesses are still prospering. So is the Mormons. And we Baptists were here first. And we're dying out. Oh, let's win souls, folks. Let's win souls for Jesus Christ. Lastly, God's word will prosper. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word succeeds everywhere. It succeeds everywhere. Yeah. Like I told you, with a Spanish man. I don't know Spanish. I'm Dutch. I was born in Holland. I'm Dutch. I know Dutch, but I don't know Spanish. You know? But I had a tract that could help me. Yeah. Some people said to me about the sign ministry, it won't work here. It won't work here. Hey, God blesses His Word wherever it is placed. And wherever it is placed. We've got a huge billboard sitting along the Interstate 65 highway, just north of Nashville. The billboard is 16 feet tall, 48 feet wide. As you're going up the hill, you see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When you're coming down the hill, it said, prepare to meet thy God. A trucker was coming down this big grade coming into Nashville with a load of steel on. On the top of the hill says wind shear factor. It tells you to reduce speed. But you know how Americans are. they don't pay any attention. Came down that hill and he couldn't manage. The wind hit him and he jackknifed. He was coming over the edge and his truck caught. And he was sitting there on the angle, scared to death. Well, we were working on the sign just lately. A policeman came by and he told us his story. He said, I want you to hear this. The owner of the land and I were there. And he says, this fellow was scared to death. I talked to him. He says, I asked him, and this policeman was a Christian man. He says, as your soul ready to meet the Lord? When things are to happen. And he says, when I opened my eyes and I saw prepared to meet that God right there plain in front of me, he said, I gave God my life. Amazing. Praise the Lord, we got the sign. Right along the road. Oh, God will bless His Word, folks. He really will. Yeah, very, very much so. Rich people read signs and poor people read signs. Black people read signs and white people read signs. Old people read signs and young people read signs. Church people read signs and unchurched people read signs. Men read signs, women read signs. Folks, there's people living in your community that won't darken the door of this church. They won't come. You won't go to any other church either. The only way you'll ever get them to the church is bring them in the box at the end of life. But they'll read a sign if you put it in front of your house. First time they see it, they say, hey, that's a funny for sale sign. So they take a second look. Amen. Yeah. Really well. Oh, God's Word will bless. Will bless. Gracie, Kentucky. I talked to your pastor about the Julian Baptist Church. I remember when I was there the first time. Years ago. No, about 20 years ago, I guess. When I was there the first time. A young man came to me after the service and he told me this story. This young man came to the Julian Baptist Church when he was a young boy. And when he came about 12 years of age, he quit going. His buddies didn't go, his folks didn't go, so he stopped going too. Started drinking. All he needed is alcohol. Now, he was living up from Gracie, and the area he was living in was still dry at that time. That's a long time ago, isn't it? But anyway, it was dry. So he had to come down the road, came by the church there, Julian Baptist Church, went into town and got a case of beer. He told me he went every Saturday and got a case of beer. That kept him going for the week. Then he'd come back, and he'd come by the church. The church has a long, narrow lot. It's along Highway 117. It's right there in the corner. And they had the sign, this one, be sure your sin will find you out. They had this sign on the side road beside the church. That's the road he was going home on. And as he was coming by the church and going home, he saw this sign. And every time he came by, be sure your sin will find you out. And he knew he was doing wrong. And it bothered him. He told me, he said, it bothered him so much that he did not want to see that sign when he had a beer in the car. So what he would do is rather than going straight home, he'd go this way and go over a mile, and then he'd make a left turn, another mile, and he'd turn back and another mile, and he was back on the road and he'd go home. He told me that. I'd go all the way around the block to miss seeing that sign, be sure your sin will find you out. He says, then one day he got the radio going, he wasn't thinking, he came by and there was a sign. He says, it bothered him so much. Yeah, the bothering was God's Holy Spirit speaking. He came back to the church and he gave his heart to Jesus. Then he said to me, may I have a sign to put in front of my house? Yeah. Oh, folks, what God has done. You have your gymnasium, Houghton, isn't that right? Yeah. Ask him about the person who was saved just recently down the road from his church. I was there about a year ago in his church. And somebody got saved there. Somebody else got saved over here on the other side of Kentucky. In the Ashland, Kentucky area, because of her son. A very fine man now, but deacon in a Baptist church, got saved because of her son. But I stop with this last story. We started our ministry here in the United States, patterned after ministry in Canada. Canada, as you know, has provinces. And in the eastern part of Canada are the maritime provinces, the provinces in the water, like Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, Prince Edward Island, New Brunswick. Those are provinces in the water. On that province, that water province, Prince Edward Island. They used to go by ferry, but now they got a causeway to it. Prince Edward Island. Strange name, but that's the name. Somebody had placed a 3x5 sign in the country. There. I don't know that much detail in regards to famine, but there was a man living close by, a farmer, who saw that sign and he hated the sign. He hated the sign. Folks, it's not the metal that people hate. It's the word of God that speaks and it works in hearts and penetrates hearts. That's what people hate. And he hated that sign. One morning, early in one morning, he was on his tractor. He was going to the old gravel pit to get some gravel. And as he was going on his tractor, he came to the sign. Oh, I hate it. He went by. Back his tractor up. He jumps off his tractor and goes into his toolbox and gets out a big chain. He took the chain and wrapped it around the post, the two posts on the 3x5 sign, and he hooks it to the back of the tractor. Jumps back on his tractor and he yanks that sign out of the ground with his tractor and drags it to the old gravel pit, which was close by. When he got to the gravel pit, he jumps back off his tractor and retrieves his chain, puts it back in the box. With his front end loader that he had on the tractor, he digs a hole. Not a deep hole, but a wide enough hole. And big enough to shovel that whole sign and the posters on in. And he took and he put the gravel back over. The sign was gone and it was never going to bother him again. And he felt good about it. He got a scoop of gravel and went home. You know what? That man didn't know what you and I know about God's ways being so much greater than our ways and God's thoughts in our hearts. He didn't know it. You see, the next day, a Christian man, after his wife continual urging, went to the gravel pit to get some gravel to fill the potholes in his driveway. Boy, she'd gone through them so often. And so, when he put a shovel in the back of his pickup and went to the gravel pit. He came to a place, and he saw a place where a tractor had been digging. He backs up his truck to that. The gravel bit loose. Be easy to put into the pickup truck. Guy was using his head, huh? Yeah. So he starts digging and starts filling up his pickup truck and so on. And all of a sudden he hits something. There's something white. There's something buried here in this gravel pit. He was a careful man. And he wondered what it was. But he didn't want to damage it. So he sort of jumped in beside it in the hole and he started digging more and more and he had quite a bit and it was quite a hole. And at last he got a hold, there was notice an edge and got a hold of it and he pulls his whole sign and stand out of the gravel pit. Who would have done that? Buried the gospel sign in the gravel pit. That was a good question. But really a better question is, what's he going to do with it now that he found it? He couldn't put it back in there. And buried that with a shovel. Should he No, it wouldn't be good to leave it laying here. What should he do? Well, he finally decided. He had a pretty good load on his truck. He finally decided to just take the sign and put it on top of the load and take it home. When he got home, the sign was on top. That man liked to work with tools. He didn't want to. He hated filling potholes. That's why they got as big as they were in the first place. You know, because they hadn't done anything about it. And so the sign was on top. He started working on the sign. First, you know, it was a top anyways, you know. And he starts straightening it out, and he washed it off and so forth, but, oh, it was badly scratched. He knew about our ministry, how we go to churches and give away gospel signs, and then after 3 or 4, 5 years, most of it's now 5 or 6 years, we go back to church and replace signs that gone bad. Signs do blow away, and or get run down. Some get shot at, you know, this kind of, it happens. So we replace signs. That's why we go to church and go replace signs. And so he wondered, when would the man be coming back? You know, so we can get a new sign. We need a new sign up there. He didn't know. He looked at the sign and wondered, what should I do? Put it behind the barn? Well, you know, even though it was badly scratched, you could still read it. He decided to put it back on his pickup truck. And he went down the road. He'd seen many times where the place where he stood, and he stopped there, and the holes were still there. He took that sign and put them right back in the same holes, took some of the gravel and tamped it in, and put the sign back where it belonged. Then he went home to fill the potholes in his driveway. The next day, that first man came by in his automobile. And there stood the sign, the same sign, back in a hole. He was startled. A miracle had happened. You know. Now it bothered him more than ever. Well, I don't know all the details about it, but I know this. That man went to church now, and through a church service, he was gloriously saved. Shortly thereafter, they had a testimony meeting, and he stood up and gave testimony of the fact that the Lord has saved him. He said, I should have been saved a long time ago, but I was so stubborn, I was so pig-headed, I was going to do my things my way. But I realized I couldn't. And then he says, and you know, I hate to tell you, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I, with my tractor, pulled that gospel sign out there on the way to the gravel pit. I pulled it, and I took it to the gravel pit, and I buried it. And the next day, miraculously, it stood right back in the same place. And he told that story. Then he sat down. Another man stood up over here. He said, well, you know, when I got to the gravel pit, and I started filling up my pickup, I found a sign. I wonder who had done it, but I wonder when we could get a new one. But then no one, the man would come back. So I decided just to put it back and hope that we can soon get a new sign. And then they wrote and told us that story. God's Word is powerful, folks. God's Word is powerful, and it will do something to hearts and lives. We found that over and over. I can tell you story after story. Just amazing stories of what God has done in hearts and lives. That fellow that was coming from the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Some of you guys know about Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. 400,000 motorcycles gathered there, Sturgis, South Dakota. And he got to the pier on Highway 34, and he got to the place where the road turns, splits, and right there was a sign, be sure your son will find you out. And he said his motorcycle just veered right towards the sign and stopped in front of the sign. And he looked at the other side, prepared to meet thy God. And he said, I just started to cry. He went back and gave his heart to Jesus at the time. Came back into town, was at the first shop he went to, belonged to a Christian man in whose church I was in. And he told me his story. And he said, the man came in and he says, folks, I just got saved because of a sign that's sitting along the road. It's amazing what God will do through His Word, you know. The thing is, we need to get it out there. Yeah, we need to get it out there. That's our responsibility. God's Word will produce. Some will be reached that won't be reached any other way. Some will be warned that won't be warned any other way. What are you doing with the Word of God, dear friend? What are you doing with the Word of God? Does your life show it? Is there some way someone can be blessed by displaying it? What about gospel tracts? You got them in your pocket, eh? Ready to give them out? That nice thank you card track goes good out there for your dinner when you go out and eat. It's good. Use it. Verse on the door of your house. Bumper sticker on your car. Sign in the front yard. Sign in your door. What are you doing with the Word of God? How about a Christian? Are we going to be witnesses? Are we going to do? The Lord said, I have chosen you that you should bear forth fruit. That's why you saved us, to reproduce. Are we going to stand before God with empty hands? Lord, that television program was so nice, I couldn't go because it was my favorite, Lord. Lord, that good book I was reading, I just had to stay home and read it. I love to read. Yeah. And I love to sit in my lazy boy chair and read. Very much so. But I'm not winning people for Christ. You've got to go out to highways and byways. And there's people here in Madisonville that need to be saved. There is. Who's going to reach him? This is your vineyard. Are you going to do it? I'm going to stay at home. But I'd like to end with what I asked the folks last night. Right there at the fair. If you were to die tonight, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure you'd be in heaven tonight? In 1 John 5:13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. God says we can know for certain. His Word tells us we can know. And I believe it. You believe that those who believe Jesus Christ Savior have everlasting life. You can have it. And you don't have to sit here and be doubtful. You can know for sure that you're His child and you're on your way to heaven. Do you know? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Let's pray. Father God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Thank thee that we have it. Thou gave us thy word so we can know. We can know about eternal life so we can be in heaven forever. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for these dear folks here. I pray that everyone in this room might know Jesus Christ the Savior, might be on their way to heaven. Without a shadow of a doubt, they know that they're going. If there's someone here that knows not, speak to that heart. Move upon that heart, we pray. While their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, no one's looking around, I'd like to ask you, are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? You're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. You raise up your